Last week, Michael Knowles interviewed Nala Ray, a woman who allegedly made $9 million on OnlyFans before giving up her life as a pornographer to become a Christian. But not everyone is happy about it. You can see on the original video about 1 out of 10 people disliked it, and there are lots of angry comments about it online. Right-wing commenter Laura Loomer said, "These OnlyFans girls can pray their slutty behavior away all they want. They will never be respectable, no matter how much they cry to God. Praying to be a respectable person doesn't work once you do sex work. It's best that we shun women like this from society forever." Another ex-user says, "Christians believe this woman can truly be saved. The naivety of conservative Christians is driving more people towards atheism and Islam, the same naivety that is making your society crumble. Accept everything and fall for anything." Today I'm going to talk about the mercy and love of God. I'm going to talk about the gospel, because it never hurts to go back to the basics. So what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you, and he died on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven. The word Catholic means universal. So when we treat some sinners as being less worthy of God's love than others, we're literally being anti-Catholic. We're opposing the universal salvific will of God. Saying God cannot forgive or redeem some people denies God's almighty power. And saying God will not forgive or will not redeem someone denies God's infinite love. When Jesus was criticized for socializing with tax collectors and prostitutes, he told his critics, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And, "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Jesus also told his critics this parable. "A man had 2 sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" Obviously, it was the son who started wrong and ended right by ultimately obeying his father, instead of the other son who started right but ended wrong because he ultimately disobeyed his father. Likewise, today there are self-professed Christians who say they love God, but they don't obey God's commands. They just like being able to post Christian imagery on their social media profiles, even when they still engage in sins like malice or hatred. In contrast, there are other people who have gravely sinned, including through things like producing online pornography, but then repent and come to God. Both groups fit well into the end of Jesus' parable, where he says, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Now, some of these critics say they're just expressing a healthy skepticism. They worry that porn industry conversions aren't genuine, and that these former porn producers are just trying to make money with a new audience through a new grift. One ex-user says, "It's strange how former porn stars and producers become some of the biggest anti-porn advocates, almost like they hopped from one grift to another." But here's what's wrong with this attitude. First, it can lead to unfounded, calumnious accusations. I've seen people say of porn producer converts from OnlyFans that these women quit once they get too old to make money on the platform, and conversion is the next best way for them to make money. But this is usually offered up without any proof, even when common sense says that for many of these women, they could still have made lots of money if they kept producing porn. Pearl Davis got into the act last week through several posts saying that Nala was actually using Michael Knowles to boost her platform, and she didn't cancel her OnlyFans account. Except her account does not exist anymore. And the main source claiming all of this was an ex account that's now been suspended. OnlyFans terms of service does not allow for immediate account deletion. You have to wait until people's subscription period has ended. Now, it is possible this is an elaborate hoax or grift on Nala's part. But there doesn't seem to be much for her to gain in getting all this attention since her account has been deleted. What concerns me more, though, is an attitude of immediate distrust, scorn, and resentment towards just one type of sinner who converts. I've seen this same attitude before when liberal Catholics complain about the mere possibility of the conversions of celebrities like Russell Brand or Tucker Carlson, who are critical of liberalism. They act like those kinds of people are going to ruin their church. So if it's wrong for liberals to complain about God's grace being given to people that they loathe, then it's wrong when conservatives do the same thing. We should not treat one kind of sinner as being unredeemable just because we find their sin especially loathsome. Imagine if we treated Protestant pastors who convert to Catholicism like this, and instead of praying for and welcoming them, we just said any Catholic teaching or preaching they now do is just some kind of grift or scam. So it's fine to not be gullible, but we shouldn't keep a convert at arm's length forever. We should welcome them eventually into the body of Christ. When St. Paul converted, Christians were afraid of him because he previously persecuted the church and breathed murderous threats against the disciples, as Acts 9:1 says. But God helped the disciples overcome this suspicion. Acts 9:26-27 says, "And when he, Saul, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus." As I said, it's fine to approach these cases with caution by doing things like not making new converts a public face of Christianity or Catholicism. I gave similar advice in a previous episode on my concerns about celebrity conversions, and many of the same principles would apply here. Even if the person has a genuine conversion, they still need time to adjust to their new life in Christ. For example, converts from the porn industry may still have to learn about the importance of modesty, even if they no longer produce pornography. And we need to be gentle during this period and not act like members of the Spanish Inquisition. Consider the case of Bree Solstad, a former porn actress and producer who recently converted to Catholicism. Her story was featured on Brett Cooper's show, The Comment Section, and I appreciated what Taylor Marshall recently said about her. There are lots of people policing Miss B and telling her what she's doing wrong and how to be a Catholic convert. This also happened to me when I converted to Catholicism. One of the most painful experiences for me as a new convert was people randomly coming up to me and telling me why my conversion was false or how I was doing it all wrong. Newsflash, almost all converts are acutely aware that they are neophytes and are often confused by it all. They already feel out of place. It's like playing golf for the first time. It's awkward and you soon realize how much you need to learn. Please welcome new converts and give them time. They don't need you wagging your finger in their faces. Treat them like new members of your family. They don't need to be shamed on day one. Be kind. Amen. Now, compare that to Pearl, who wrote, "The audacity of a former porn star shaming men for watching porn." Well, I'm glad that St. Augustine never took Pearl's advice and decided not to write about lust because of his lustful past. When I saw Bree getting this kind of abuse online, I messaged her to affirm her witness, and I sent her my book, Why We're Catholic. She then posted this. "Catholics are so loving and supportive. Thank you, Trenhorn, for sending me your book and for your message of encouragement. Story. When I first began converting, I started following many Christian leaders, apologists, and podcasters and speakers. One of the first I tried to follow was Trent, because I really enjoyed his content and the charity he exuded. When I searched for his Twitter, I realized he had blocked me sometime in the past. He was right to block me. He didn't need to be assaulted and scandalized by my previous pornographic content. Thankfully, another Christian Twitter account noticed this and, without prompting from me, reached out to Trent asking him to unblock me. Within hours, Trent unblocked me, and I was able to see his stellar content again. Then, a few weeks ago, Trent reached out to me privately with loving words of encouragement for me. And now, here he is sending me his written work. I can't wait to read this book. If anyone would have told me a year ago that this was going to be my life, I would have mocked them and blocked them. I am so happy that this is my life now. My heart is full of love, humility, and appreciation for every single person who has aided me on this path or spoken words of encouragement to me. So thank you, Trent, and thank you, everyone else. I am so grateful." All I can say is praise be to God for his mercy and his grace. I pray that none of us have hard hearts towards anyone who repents of sin. When it comes to pornography, some Christians might be resentful of those who made a lot of money in the porn industry and now convert, as if they didn't pay for their sins enough or they got the easy way out. But that's not how it works. If we all had to pay for the eternal consequences of our sins, we'd all be damned, each and every one of us. I am grateful to God. I do not get what I truly deserve. So if we resent those who have converted after a life of sin because we played by the rules and now we each get the same eternal reward, then we're no better than the older brother who was mad about the salvation of the prodigal son, or the workers in the field who were mad about the owner's generosity towards those who only worked for 1 hour. We're treating salvation as something to be earned through good behavior and not as a gift from God we should be eternally grateful for receiving. Pearl even admits that she hates the parable of the prodigal son. Besides, those who leave the porn industry do pay a price that many of them would say is not worth the money that they made. For example, images of them and their sins still lurk on the internet and are impossible to remove since other people share them. People who leave the porn industry have guilt over leading so many people into sin. And they have wounds from the people, mostly men, who harm their dignity by reducing them to sexual objects. That is a heavy cross to carry. So we should not push it down any more on them with self-righteous judgments. Instead, as St. Paul says in Galatians 6:1-2, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Thank you so much for watching, and I hope you have a very blessed day.